Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is guiding people who will hear him out in great and mighty ways. I was telling a friend of mine today that when people follow God, things happen that they can't imagine. You know, I remember when I felt so reluctant against following through what God gave me, because he told me to do things that I had no experience in. I never saw the outcome of it. I mean, in those days, I didn't know what to expect. It was very new to me. But I had revelation to go on, so I'd obey him. And I was explaining to Odie that the reason I obeyed him was because I told him I would. I vowed that I would. So I had to. And I promise you, no man likes to admit that he would have chickened out, but I would have chickened out. But I had a vow, and I had to do it. So when I proceeded forward, it worked. It always worked. It always worked out. And I love to listen to Henry Groove. I started listening to him in 2017, and he made a vow. And he kept following God, and he had so many miracles. He has so many wonderful miracles to tell about. Now, this is what bothers me. Other men of God, any man of God that would just follow through what God is saying, they'll have the same counter reports. And it's, men that follow through with what God, men that follow God according to his specifications, not tradition, not the world, not what you used to, the Lord will take you beyond all that. And your life will be more like Paul's life. But people say, well, I'm not like Paul. Yes, you are. You're just like Paul. You've been washed in the blood. You have the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. He's the one. If you will obey him, he'll work in your life just like he worked in Jesus' life, just like he worked in Peter's life, just like he worked in John's life and in James' life and all the other 12. And then he operated in Paul and Silas and Barnabas' life. He's not a respected person. Will you obey him? Will you do what he said? You are just like Paul. You are not inferior. Paul was a man that loved God. And if you're a man that loved God, the same kind of works will happen in your life. Just like I'm a man of God that loved God, and God kept his word and things worked. So get over it. We are just like Paul. In fact, we're just like Jesus if we are walking his way and hate the world system. And that's the biggest problem. The Lord told me that the men of God that didn't follow through and obey him, it was because they took heed to seducing spirits. And I never could put my finger on why. I saw them. They tried to do better. They did the best they knew. But the best we know is not enough. We got to follow God in order to do the best that he knows. See, when the Lord gives you something to do, you don't know what to do, but he does. You're on the earth with authority. He has to work through our authority. He has to work through man. Every miracle that God ever performed after he made his covenant and agreement with Adam, he was hands off, and he did all the necessary miracles through covenant with man. Every time God worked a miracle in Moses' life, Moses had to do something. He had to speak to the rock. He hit the rock instead of speaking to it. And God had mercy on him and did the miracle anyway. When it was time to part the sea, he had to, put his staff up. And then the Lord split the waters. Or he touched the waters with his staff, and the Lord made the waters part, and they walked over on dry ground. All miracles, a man was involved. God just didn't do a miracle without man's praying. When Hezekiah prayed, then the Lord worked in his behalf, and the angel killed 185,000 enemies of Israel in one day. Miracles happen when men prayed, when men did something. This is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual fight. You're on the scene. Paul and all the other apostles are gone. They're with the Lord now. We have their writings. They left us a legacy, but guess what? You can supersede the legacy, and you're supposed to. Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me. So if you can do greater works than Jesus, you can do greater works than Paul. And in a lot of ways, Paul did greater works than Jesus because he believed. All you got to do is believe. The Holy Spirit will give you a format, and he'll give you a protocol to do, and you obey it, and it works. I don't understand why it's so hard for people to receive. You know, God told Henry Gruber, he said, as he was out doing God's work, he said, always go with, follow the peace and the song. Follow the peace. If you lose the peace and the song, go back and find it. That's how he was following the Holy Spirit. The Lord will give you a protocol of your own. He know you want to follow him, he'll work with you. And he'll give you a protocol, he'll give you instructions. Why don't people preach it? Because they don't do it. That's why they don't preach it. They don't have faith for it because they haven't heard anybody preach it. But people that are doing it, you have to read their books and get their information and how they learned it, and then you can do it too. Now, the Lord taught me, just like he taught Henry Gruber, the prayer wall, he taught me he gave me revelation about concerning following God, the things that I do all the time. And most people didn't want to hear it. So the Lord gave me this vehicle to get this information to people that do want to know. So I follow God. And you, those who hear these broadcasts all over the world, follow God. Do what God. This is not just something to listen to. Listen to it and use the information to follow God. Go. You take everything to prayer, to God in prayer. And through your relationship with him, he's going to guide you the way you need to go. And you're going to solve many problems. God's going to show you who to minister to and where to go first. Don't just go out and do it your way. Do what God give you to do. Go in prayer. And he gave me an understanding of what he wanted me to do. And the timing is important. I used to want to, as a young man, I wanted to do something. Every day I wanted to do something. I wanted to see something, but training, you can't rush training. Go in prayer and spend time with the Lord. And you can always bless the Lord. You know, I hear an ambulance right now. Whenever I hear an ambulance, I pray for the people in need. So I pray that God will move on their behalf. I don't know them. I don't know what they did. But when I hear an ambulance, I know there's somebody that's got a need, and the Lord knows what they need. And so when you can always serve God. You don't have to be a well-known minister to be effective. You just have to pray for people. You have the authority to help somebody in need. So you can always pray for the people in need. And when I used to hear an ambulance, as a reflex, I'd immediately start praying for them, taking authority over the enemy. So you can be effective when you follow God, when you obey him. You can solve problems that the world can't solve. So it's all about love. And one thing that hinders people is their love for the world. Jesus told us not to love the world. John told us, love not the world, which actually means hate the system of it, not the people. You have to say it that way because sometimes that's a confusing statement. Hatred of the world. That he's not talking about the people. Now, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes shall live and not die and not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, he's talking about the human people. But the system that got them in trouble, the sin, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride, those are the things you hate. The drugs, the things, you know, the witchcraft. Drug use is witchcraft. That's all it is. It's just something to reduce man's mind and get him in trouble and make him easy prey for Satan to rip him off. So the thing is this. You have to hate the things that will kill you and love the things that God loves. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. God hates the destruction of man. He hates when man turns his shoulder away. He hates men turn their shoulder away from God because they love the world. And there are so many Christians they have a love for God, and they also have a love for the world. So they become lukewarm and contrary, and they're dangerous people. They confuse people. Lukewarm people are dangerous people because they, you know, a good depiction of that is Saul. Now Saul, he would praise God. He ordered Samuel to worship God with him, so the people would still respect him. He was trying to use Samuel as a way to get respect, but he didn't repent. He had a love. He had pride in his heart, and he didn't repent from it. Dangerous man. He tried to kill David several times. He hated David. And then he asked David to save his family because he knew he couldn't defeat him. He came to a point he knew he couldn't defeat David. And David was always steps ahead of him because David followed the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that he didn't hate David. He just could. He realized he couldn't win. And he ended up dying because he saw the witch and because he didn't let go of it. He should have stopped. He should have repented. He should have did the things that made him strong and stepped down from being a king, and he would have lived. But no, he didn't repent when he knew he was wrong. Lukewarm, that's what happens to lukewarm people. They get to a point they will not repent. And when God spit them out of his mouth, they're not coming back. They have a reprobate mind when that happens. Now, this is Bible. This is all you have to do is study first Romans chapter 1. It explains how God gave that generation over to a reprobate mind. There are people that he spit them out. They're not going to repent. It takes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us receive the word and repent. That's why some are predestined. People that are predestined, God knows that they want to know God, and God makes sure that they hear the word. He raised up people just to tell people that are predestined. Now, there are people that they won't go backwards. They're going to love God and they go forward. And even if they do fall, they get back up and they learn. That's what I did. When things didn't go right, I asked the Lord, why? What do I do? How do I change it? I got information. I didn't just leave my repentance to happenstance. I asked the Lord, if I did something I knew was wrong or thought away I shouldn't, I asked the Lord to forgive me. I said, but how do I get to the point that I can kill that problem? How do I get to a point that I have the mastery over that? Whatever it was. You know, when I talk about how I almost got in a fight, you know, God, he worked with me. He taught me. He trained me. How to love people, that's very important. And through, I suggest that for anybody, because if you can love people that don't love you, you love God, because you can't separate how you love God from how you love man. It's connected. The way you love God is the way you love man. And you have to hate the things that hold you back and love the things, love God, and keep his commandments. You know, when you follow through with the love of God, it always takes you forward. And you see more than you did when you began the process. And what I mean by the process, when you sought the Lord and you acted and he gave you information, you started a process. When you act on it, you learn from it. You learn how powerful it is to follow God in the first place. Now, from there, all you got to do is continue. Now, I love it. And I love seeing God's people healed and blessed and set free. I love to see people go forward and not backwards. I love for people to go forward. I don't like to see God's people hurt. And when people try to ignore the world, that don't work. When they try to, they know they don't like it. Some people don't like the world system, but they don't hate it, to the point that they shun it. And some people manage, they know the world is ragged, so they don't fool with it. Now they do better in life. But those, when if you come to a point where you hate sin, you're going to live a distraction-free life. Now Satan's going to try you, but you're going to win, because see, people can't win against Satan if they like some of his ways. And remember, any of his ways is dangerous because it works like leaven. It always works against you ultimately. But when you hate it, he don't have anything to work with. He'll shoot his fiery darts all day, but they can't stick. Your shield of faith is too strong. If you have the love of God in you and you shield yourself, you'll be on the other side of that shield laughing at him. And then you'll counter him and you'll shut him down. And it's not hard to do. If you win the war within, the war without is so easy. It's easier than any cakewalk. You know, that's just the game that the kid that they played in the first, when I was in the first grade. You know, you march around the chairs with numbers in them, and then when the music stops, you sit down, they call the number, you won the cake, or somebody won the cake. Then they slice it and give everybody some. So everybody, winning against Satan is easier than that if you win the war within. But if you're conflicted and you're struggling, you're double-minded about the ways of the world, and you don't drive it out of your life, it's going to work against the word. It's going to work against the word that you have. And see, the five foolish virgins, they were foolish not because they loved God just like the other ten. They just didn't fill their heart with the word. And when they got weak enough, their love for the world rose up. In other words, if you love the world somewhere, you'll spend more time depending on worldly entertainment to make you feel fulfilled, and the enemy will trap you. You have to love God's word more than everything else. Well, preacher, that's hard. No, it ain't. The word of God is edifying. The movies and the music and the entertainment industry is debauchery these days. Even if you find an old movie, it was something to get people interested in the wrong thing. They had the half-dressed women. They had arrogant people. People being arrogant in their ways. They had no love. The husband and wife was fighting. Somebody was blowing somebody up. Somebody was a sniper. You know, all the stuff that you know, people, the explosions, always somebody fighting somebody bad. And then when the bad guy gets it, you laugh. You happy because he got it. But the ways of God is so different. Think about it. How can you enjoy that movie if you love everybody in it? You want it's designed to make you laugh when the bad guy gets it. And it is fun to watch him get it. But guess what? In life, it's like this. In life, as you go forward in the things of God, you have to drive out the things that hold you back. And that's something that people have not preached on enough. Because I've been going to church all my life. And the Holy Spirit simplified things for you. And, you know, here I am recently realizing why God had them to drive out the Canaanites. The Canaan land is just like a man's heart. You get rid of the witchcraft and the giants, the demonic giants and the demonic people that were worshiping the giants and all the activity that they do, and the lust of the flesh, the greed, the pride. You dry that out. Now you can look at the Lord for who he is. And it's the same thing in our life. There are so many distractions. You love God, you love his ways, you're learning, you're healing. The healing process of salvation is growing. The enemy ain't just going to sit on the sideline and watch you get strong. He's going to try to stop you. He's going to try attacks. Anything that he think will work, he will try. So you have to love God's word. You have to love him. You have to love what God loves. And you also have to hate what God hates. Now, if you fill your heart with his love, and you're receiving his word, you're getting stronger on the inside. You're renewing your mind. When you do this process, you can't sin. You're not going to worship God and go in his presence and love him and enjoy his presence, and then fill your heart with the word, and then leave the house and go rob a bank. That never happens. You're not going to do that. You're going to follow him, and you know, your heart is geared towards him. Now, like, I love this verse right here. This is St. John chapter 3. We kind of stopped around this one yesterday. We read a few verses down. He said, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." Let me read verse 5. "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin," in Jesus. He did the Father's will. He said, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." You're living in him. You're living in his way. You're learning his ways. You're adapting. You're growing. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." If you love and appreciate God who is sinless, you got an appetite for what's right. And you just don't want sin in your life anymore. That's how we fulfill the law. You can't just say, "Well, I'm not going to smoke, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to lust after women, I'm not going to cuss, I'm not going to rob anybody." You can't go around just trying not to sin all day. You have to have a reason why. Why? Because I love God. Because I love God, I appreciate the love he had towards me. It automatically causes you to want to love me. And if you love people, you can't sin against them. So if you cut off all the avenues that Satan can come through, he can't get to you. This is the way you live. "Whosoever abide in him sins not." That's a true fact. And whatever's born of God don't sin either. I love these scriptures. And people mess them up. Well, that means you won't continue this. No, it means you will not sin, period. That's what it's written. And I don't see any words italicized. That's what John meant. That's what the Holy Spirit meant. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." We are not designed to be devils. We don't want to be devils. We were born to sin. We didn't like sin. We left sin because we found a better way. We saw the light of God's word live. We trusted the Lord more. The Holy Spirit worked with us. We believed on Jesus. Now we know we have a reference of his kind of love. And every time people really get saved, they can't wait to love people. They want people to know Jesus. I got saved when I was at 19. I was working at a grocery store, food giant in Huffman, Alabama, Huffman, east side of Birmingham. And every time one of my friends got saved, they wanted more of Jesus. I remember a guy named Jimmy Barber. He loved Jesus. He loved going to church. He loved knowing the Lord. And then Chris Lucas. He loved God. He studied the word. He went to a good church. He taught me so many foundational things right there at the grocery store. And Terrence Givens, he was a little older than me. He was married. He got saved and he loved Jesus. James got saved. He loved Jesus. These were young men. They loved God. This is important. We need to know the Lord our God and King. That's just the way it is. They didn't love Jesus and then talk about crazy stuff. They didn't talk about going to the club, lusting after women. That conversation changed. They changed. And the ones that did some stuff, you know, we did things we shouldn't have done before. We used to say dirty jokes and all, just like anybody else. Then when we got saved, we loved Jesus. We didn't want that world anymore. One guy was in a band called Halo. These guys loved Jesus. That's all they wanted to do is love Jesus. It's important to know God. About 20 young men got saved in that grocery store like dominoes. One of them became a youth pastor. One of them began to work at the radio station. Another one, one of them was a youth pastor. All over the place, God did a mighty work. He did a revival in that store. Well, actually, he did a movement in that store because we got saved and stuck with the Lord and learned from him. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Not just born again. He's born of God. I asked the Lord, in this season, I'm asking the Lord more about this scripture, because there's a lot right here. I said, now, being born again and being born of God, you know, I believe the Lord was showing me when a person get born again and then they fill their heart with the word of God, that's more like what it's like to be born of God. All right, you're not just saved. You don't just have fire insurance. You're saved. You're excited about it, but you're learning and growing. The Lord is being formed in you. That's what I believe it means to be born of God. But I'm going to get more information. I suggest you do the same. See what the Lord will tell you, his definition of what it is to be born of God. Sometimes people just go with an assumption. I don't suggest you just go with what I just said. I suggest that I believe that there's more in verse 9 than I'm able to tell you right now. So the Lord will talk to you just like he talked to me. If you ask, knock, if you seek, knock, and ask, God will give you information. Now, as he tell me more, I'm going to share it. And let's do this together. You go before the Lord with verse 9. I'm going to continue to seek him about verse 9. And in future broadcasts, let's see if he say the same thing. Verse 10. In this case, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. See, when the children of God are manifest, then it automatically manifests the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So when the children of God is manifested, things happen. People see a difference in you. They see the love of God manifested. And light always shines light on darkness. Now everybody who gets upset, everybody who hates you because you're going forward, they're manifested. See, God knows what's in people already. He's not surprised by what people choose. But we can't tell because we don't have the information he has unless he reveal it. But when you start walking in the light, you're going to attract the people that's like-minded. First, you're going to cause them to, you're going to cause them to do some soul searching at first. The Lord told me, when you minister, you can't go by how people look. Sometimes people look forlorn. You got them pondering. They're thinking. They heard things they never heard. They're trying to process information. They may look puzzled. And some people rejoice, but that don't mean that they're in it. That don't mean that they love God. That don't mean that they're receiving either. But when people receive the word, they respond variedly. You can't go by how they respond. But see, the Lord knows when they draw near, when they're receiving the word, they're going to start living the life. Now, when people see the light, they respond differently. I kind of touched on that yesterday. When I share the word with people, I monitor the Holy Spirit when I'm talking to people about the Lord and his works and whatever he give me. I monitor the Holy Spirit, because if the Holy Spirit withdraws, I know that they're rejecting, or that they may have pride in their heart, or they may not be receptive at this moment for this reason, for whatever reason. But when people, when some people activate my anointing more than others, and they're receptive and the Holy Spirit give me more information, I know that they're receiving in that moment. And some people get upset that I don't, you know, they seem to get upset. They end the conversation, change the subject, and do something. People do it differently. And sometimes people change. That people that used to act like that, they get better. I can't judge people because I'm not good enough to judge. And Jesus told me not to. I don't believe in attempting to judge somebody's intent. Whatever they do, they do. I monitor the Holy Spirit, whether I should keep talking or leave it alone. But see, when the children of God are manifest, and the children of, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. What? in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God committeth not sin, and the seed remains in him because he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and also and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So you got two friends. One loved the Lord, and the other one didn't make up his mind yet. He still loved the world somewhere. Their friendship is short-lived, because if one keep going forward in God, the other one's going to start having a problem, or he's going to start receiving the Lord as well. And it's going to start a revival or a riot. But see, when people are lukewarm, they try to blend it. You can't. It's not even possible. If you try to blend God and Satan within you, you're going to have conflict like you never thought about. And you're going to make a mess of not only your life, but everybody that trusts you. But when you love God only and you hate the works of darkness, you're going to start a revival and a riot. It's not going to be an in-between. He said in verse 12, or verse 11, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." This is a good example. Abel loved God. Cain loved pride. He killed his brother. And don't be so surprised. He said, "Marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you." That it's inevitable. Daniel said that the wicked will do wickedly and they won't understand. Now, we'll pick it up here tomorrow because I'm out of time. But the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout our lives as we learn his ways, receive and adapt to his ways. We walk in that light and we become effective. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our